Well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to our first ever sermon on video. We're trying something new. We're having some technical difficulties, so we're going to be late getting this posted, but hopefully we'll be able to figure it all out before too long. It is a little strange talking into a phone. Something I've really never done is videoing like this, so I'm learning as I go. Hopefully I'll get better and faster as we go along. But it's not the same. I'd much rather be seeing all of your faces out there in the congregation. But until this pandemic is over with, we are going to try to do this for a couple more weeks. The smartest thing to do and the honorable thing to do is not to gather in groups right now. We don't want to put our members in any danger, and we don't want to put the general public in any danger. We are called to love our neighbors, to love those that are out there in the world, and if we're doing anything that might spread the virus, that's not loving our neighbors. So we will continue to be the church, and we will continue to connect with each other. We'll continue to try to reach the world. It's going to be challenging, but we can use the technologies of the day to do this. And so this is a challenging time, but we like challenges. But I am glad everybody's viewing in this morning. And we're going to be getting to our sermon and to some worship and having a nice time together today. But let's begin in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we live in troubling times, uncertain times, and many people have fear. But Lord, you have told us that you are in control, and we will see that today through your word, how much control you really have. It's the ultimate control, and we don't have to fear. We don't have to be uncertain. All we have to do is look to you. So, Lord, I just ask you to guide us in this service. Give us hearts that are ready to hear from you, hearts that are thankful for all that you have done. Lord, I just ask you to give us understanding. I ask you to help the Spirit to move on our hearts and our souls. And Lord, that we will come together as a church, in spirit and in truth. We just pray this in your name. Amen. So this time, why don't we go ahead and have some worship, because God is worthy of our worship, and let's sing a few songs together.
Just the way it is. unstoppable. That's what you
Today I want to be speaking to you from the book of Matthew. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and take your Bibles and get them ready. You can turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. I've entitled this sermon, Prophetic Signs and Palm Trees. And that'll make sense by the end of the sermon. Again, if you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 1. Says, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Surely I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon here upon another that shall not be thrown down. So there Jesus and the disciples are in the Mount of Olives, and they're looking at the temple buildings and how beautiful, and they were very beautiful. And Jesus turns to his disciples and says, listen, soon those buildings won't exist. They'll be torn down. Not one stone will be left. And this really took the disciples by surprise. So we see in the next verse, verse 3, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So they wanted to know when these things were going to happen. Well, the destruction of the temple that Jesus foretold, prophetically foretold, was in 70 AD, exactly like he said it was going to happen. But then they also wanted to know, when is your return, and the end of the age, or the end of the world, or the last days? And so Jesus responds to this question. Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So here Jesus gives the disciples a few signs. Right here in these few verses are a few signs. Now later in the chapter, he gives multiple more signs, but we're going to focus on these right here. So he gives them these signs. And these are signs that can be easily understood and even seen. And I believe today we are witnessing these signs that Jesus prophetically told his disciples. Let me show you what I mean. Matthew 24 verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Now we know a very famous statement from Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, when people say that they're Christ, it doesn't mean they're just literally saying they are Jesus Christ, which there are people out there that say that, many. But to say that you are a way to God, that you have a truth, is another way of saying I am the Christ. And today we have, more than ever before in human history, false religions, ideologies that say that they are the way, that they are the truth. We see this, and you might see this on many cars, on their bumpers, this coexist. You see it on bumper stickers. I see it all over Reading. What this is saying is that there's not just one way, that there's many ways, and they're all the same, and they all need to get together, that there's truth in all these religions, all these belief systems, that all religions are the same. Well, they're not, because they all teach different things. Yes, you might find a few common things through them, but what they teach in their core principles contradict one another, so they can't all be the same. And Jesus was very clear when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through me. He eliminated all other ways with that statement. He said he is the only way. Now today we want to believe, or people want to believe, that there's many paths, many ways to God. Again, Jesus has already shut that down. Now today, others want to be what we call spiritual. They want to pick and choose to what they want to believe in. So they take a little bit here, a little bit there, and they kind of create their own little religion, their own little belief system, and they call themselves being spiritual. And what they do is they make a way for themselves that is pleasing to themselves, that is comfortable for themselves, what seems right to them. But the Bible is clear. It says in the Bible that there are many ways that man thinks is right. But in the end, those ways lead to death. So people can come up with all sorts of things and call it spiritual and feel good about themselves, but in the end, it will not save them. Never has there been a time in the world with so much deception. And the information age that we live in, there's just so much out there, so much false teachings, false truths, deception, that have people confused and going in every direction but the right one. Even in churches today, we see great deception. So the first sign that Jesus told his disciples was that many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And we definitely see that happening today. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Now verse 6. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Now, there's always been war. The world has never been free from war. But I want to show you something. The world has never really been free from the scourge of war, but no period in all history has witnessed the escalation of wars as the 20th century. The last century, there was 15,000 wars. More people killed in the last 100 years than all the previous years combined. 200 million. And as we begin the 21st century, we have been at war from almost the beginning of this century. The war on terror. And there's wars, small wars, insignificant wars to the world, but there are wars raging around the world right now. The second sign that Jesus pointed out was wars and rumors of wars. And the second part, or the third sign connected to that, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Now, this means they're not at war, they're not shooting at one another, but they are at odds and they are coming against each other. And definitely we see that today. I can just start listing the nations that are having conflict. The U.S. and Russia Russia and Israel, China versus the U.S., China and Japan, China and Taiwan, the EU and Russia, North and South Korea, Iran and Israel, Iran and U.S., Syria and Israel, and it goes on and on and on. Every continent, there are nations working against each other. The nations are not getting along. And again, that has always been the case, but never as we see it today. And if you just spend enough time on the news and maybe go outside the American media and go to Jerusalem Post and other magazines and newspapers around the world, and you'll see how much tension there is. Nations are against nations, kingdom against kingdoms, wars and rumors of war. It just hangs over us. It's just something we cannot escape. It's a shadow that just looms there. And people are constantly fearful. Again, Jesus pointed that these will be the signs of the times. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." And now here's the next part. "And there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places." Now I find this information quite fascinating. These natural disasters, these pandemics, earthquakes. Now, if you go and you Google natural disasters, worldwide natural disasters in the last 100 years, here's what you're going to get. Here's statistics. Now, this is from 1900 to 2011. But what I want to show you is that starting with 1900, natural disasters, you can see there were some happening, but not a lot. And it basically that level stayed there, and then it starts to uptick after 1940. Closer to 1950, there's an uptick, and then you see what has been happening for the last few years. Now, what's interesting is that uptick right before 1950. 1948, most theologians believe, and I believe, one of the greatest signs, the prophetic signs that the Bible told us about, that we will be near the end of days, is the rebirth of the nation of Israel. Now, the Bible had prophesied that Israel would be created, then Israel would be devastated, be destroyed, wiped out. And that happened. And she went into non-existence for 1,800 years. But the Bible also said that after this time, after the Jews, the nation was destroyed, and the Jews were scattered among the nations of the world, that he would bring his people back to their land, back to the land of Israel. And he would reestablish the nation of Israel in one day. And that happened in 1948. After World War II, the United Nations voted in one day to give the land that was then called Palestine, where the British had control, to give it back to the Jews, and so they could have their homeland. In one day, a nation was created. That has never happened in human history. Never in human history has a nation been wiped out to resurface, to come back to life at all, let alone after 1,800 years. But that's exactly what the Bible predicted would happen, and that is what has happened. And in 1948, with the rebirth of Israel, many believe, and I believe as well, that the end time clock started to tick. Because all the prophecies, all the events that will happen in the end times, is focused around the nation of Israel. And so with them back in the land, the clock started to tick. And that's when we start seeing the other signs of the times. They start to ramp up. And that's exactly what we see. Now, this is just one. You can go into multiple different websites and you'll find the same statistics. Here's another one. Natural disasters between 1900 and 2009. Again, you see that great uptick. And these are all sorts of natural disasters. So you have geological, meaning earthquakes, storms, the hurricanes, the droughts, higher temperatures, climate change, wildfires, floods, and mass movements of people because of these catastrophes, and then biological, meaning viruses and pandemics and diseases. All this has started to increase. And again, here's a different statistic from a different website, and you see the increase right before 1950. It starts to uptick. Now here's another one from Our World in Data website, and this is going from 1970 to 2019, last year. And again, it's reporting all the different natural disasters and calamities, and you see, again, a great uptick in all these things. Now, the Bible there, Jesus also said earthquakes in various places. Now, I find the earthquakes alone quite interesting. You can go to the United States Geological Service website, and you can get this information. Now, this is a graph from their website that shows earthquakes greater, from 6.0 and greater, since 1900. And you can look, there has been a steady increase in earthquakes. And then when you start looking at it, it says earthquakes in various places. And if you start going back, and you'll be amazed when you start researching this, how many earthquakes are happening, and in all different locations. Just this last couple weeks, we've seen an earthquake in Idaho. 2 weeks before that, we saw an earthquake in Utah. And then a couple months before that, we saw a major earthquake, 7.1, I think, in California, Southern California. And you start looking, there's earthquakes happening all over the place. They're getting more intense. They're happening more frequently. And 6.0 and greater is happening. So, again, we see exactly what Jesus was talking about. Here's one last final slide, again, from the website Our World in Data. And this is, again, from 1900 to 2019, the most updated one. And you just see, again, the escalation of all natural disasters. And again, the uptick happens right around 1948. Now today, if you want to Google this, there are great videos on all this stuff. Google locust plagues, locust invasions. Right now we have huge, and you look at the videos and just, they're like a cloud of locusts that are in Africa right now, devastating crops. They are in Pakistan. China right now, even during this pandemic of coronavirus, is ramping up because there's a swarm of locusts headed up near to China. Last year, Russia had massive locust swarms. Just type in locust swarms in Russia on Google and look at the videos. And like I said, it's like a cloud of locusts, and they're just everywhere, devastating. We've also had, in the last couple of years, wildfires raging worse in recorded history. 2 years ago, we had the Carr Fire here in Redding, and it was that just fires everywhere in California. But if you start researching, there's wildfires everywhere. Right now, Australia is still burning with the worst wildfires they've ever seen. But Russia had wildfires a couple of years ago, just devastating Siberia. Northern Europe had massive wildfires. Areas that have never burned before are burning. Hurricanes in the last few years. Every time we hear a hurricane, we hear, you know, that they're getting more intense. And yes, it's being contributed to the climate change. The warmer temperatures cause these hurricanes. But again, that's what Jesus said, that things will get bad towards the end. If you want to throw global warming in there, go ahead. These hurricanes are getting more intense, bigger. The season's lasting longer, or the season's even starting early. So hurricanes and tsunamis from the earthquakes, you know, a couple of years ago, the terrible tsunamis that hit over in Asia, devastation beyond belief. And then today, what we're dealing with, plagues, viruses, diseases, Ebola, and we got the coronavirus, we've had the bird flu, the swine, we've had all these viruses. Today, the coronavirus is something unique. We've never seen one affect the world as we're seeing it today. Nations shutting down, economies shutting down. It's just in very interesting and strange times we're living in. But again, all these disasters, all this terrible time was foretold by Jesus Christ. So we see in our fourth sign that there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. Now, it's logical to ask this question. Why are all these disasters happening? Why are they increasing? Why is that a sign of that Christ has given us? Well, let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we will go down to verse 19. It says, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now." This is telling us that God subjected the creation to the curse of humanity's sinfulness. The creation groans. The creation is being torn apart literally over time from the curse. And near the end, the creation is going to groan the greatest and more things are going to be going wrong. Why did God do this? Why did God subject the creation to this curse? Well, let's look. It says there in verse 20, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." When the children of God are liberated from the sinful world, when the evil is taken out and peace will reign on again, so will this happen to the creation. God subjected the creation in hope. Why? If humanity is living in a perfect world with no cares, no problems, they're not going to understand their need to repent of their sinfulness and turn to God. So God has allowed the sinfulness not only to destroy our lives, the bad choices we make, but also the creation so that we are not at home, we're not comfortable in our sin. God wants us to come out of our sin. So he allows these things to happen. And people have mocked this, that, oh, the creation, all these bad things happen because of sin. It's exactly what the Bible says. All the bad in this world is because of sin. And God one day is going to cleanse all that. But people need to be ready for that day. He subjected it in hope, in the hope that humanity will repent and return to God before it's too late, because there is a day coming. There is a day when God will restore the earth, free the creation from the curse of sin, and it's called Judgment Day. We see this in Acts chapter 17, verse 30. "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day. He has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." Jesus Christ is going to judge the world. God has reassured the world that this day is going to happen by raising him from the dead, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ not only proves to the believer who Jesus was and is, and that we can have our full hope in him because he overcame sin and death. But the resurrection also tells the unbelieving world that God is going to judge the world. Jesus didn't go through all that suffering and death for no reason. God is going to judge. There is going to be a day of reckoning and all evil will be dealt with. All rebellion will be dealt with. Jesus went through the crucifixion and death so that we who are sinful, we who have been evil and rebellious, can be forgiven and spared the day of judgment. Now, how close are we to that day? Well, let us return to the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrow." Jesus gave these prophetic signs to us so that we may understand the days that we live. It looks very clear that we are in the days of sorrows. The days right before the last days, when God's wrath will be poured out upon sinful humanity that refuses to repent. Now, the question is, how long will these days of sorrows last? And be honest, no one knows. I do not know, nobody does. But what we do know is they've been happening for a while already. Maybe even since 1948 or right after. They will come to an end. Whether that's sooner or later, we don't know. But they will come to an end. What I can say about these days, even if these days of sorrow, the beginning of sorrows, continue for a while, they are not going to be pleasant days. They are days of sorrow. What is happening now and has been happening will only increase and get worse. These are not going to be days you want to deal with by yourself, hoping in yourself or hoping in some false system or spirituality, or whatever you may want to call it. The days ahead are designed to wake people up to the true living God, to the God who's in control of all things, and the God who says there is a day fixed when I will reset everything. The time is short. And that's why today, this Sunday, April 5th, 2020, why this day is so important. Today is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday was another prophecy foretold in Scripture in the book of Daniel. The very day that Christ would enter into Jerusalem. And that day he rode a donkey. And a donkey back then was a symbol that when as you approached a city, you were approaching it in peace. And that's what Jesus was doing. He wasn't coming there to judge the city. He was coming there on a peace mission. He was coming there to lay his life down as a sacrifice to please the wrath and justice of God. He became sin for us on the cross. I'll talk about that later in the week. But he was on a peace mission to bring peace between sinful humanity and God. And that's why he approached the city on a donkey. God is patient that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's why the days of sorrows are happening. That's what is leading us up to the end. God is trying to wake up humanity to the truth of the Scriptures, to the truth of him. These days of sorrow will continue. But we can look back to this day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem and we can see God's grace. We can see his love. We can see him in complete control of all events, of all things. And he came to save us. He came to bring his love and his mercy and his grace, and he wants to bestow it on whosoever will call upon him. This day, Palm Sunday, represents the goodness and the love of God so that we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be uncertain in what's happening. We can trust in God, the God who controls all things. And this day is so important in what it represents. And later this week, and Good Friday, and Easter, this shows who Jesus Christ is, what he did for us. Because these days of sorrow were coming, there's a day fixed when God will be done with the evil. And grace will end, and he will judge, and he doesn't want people to suffer that. So Jesus came so he didn't have to. But let me be clear, the end will come. The judgment will happen. And if we are in the days of sorrow, and I truly believe we are, then how close are we to that end time? We see the signs that Jesus pointed out that would happen before the end. They're happening all around us. But again, for today, for us, for anyone listening, there is great hope. For those in Christ, we've been born again by the blood of the Lamb. We have no reason to fear. But we have every reason to be about our Lord's business, sharing with people the truth of the gospel, telling them what's going to happen, what's coming. The Bible has predicted it for thousands of years. And this morning, if you're an unbeliever, never really put your faith in Jesus Christ, you know about Jesus Christ, you maybe even once attended church, but you don't follow him today, you don't seek him. You've never been born again by the blood of the Lamb through the Holy Spirit of God. Even you can find this great hope today. Turn from your sins and you look to Jesus Christ. Whoever calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. But you must be willing to turn from your sinfulness. You can't have Jesus Christ and the sins of the world. It doesn't work that way. You have to turn from your false beliefs, your spirituality, your positive thinking, and you got to turn to Jesus Christ. There's nothing you can do to receive his forgiveness, to receive his grace. But you must repent. You must let go. There'll be another message posted to our YouTube page, hopefully. And it's listed, it'll be simply listed as the gospel. And if you're interested in wanting to learn more how to have peace with God, what salvation, Jesus Christ, all this is about, please listen to that video. If you're listening to the audio version online from our website, then you can go back and listen to the sermon, the message of the hope in the darkness. And the gospel is clearly explained there as well. Today on Palm Sunday, we celebrate and remember when Jesus rode the little donkey into Jerusalem. There's another day coming when Jesus will once again ride. But this time he won't be riding a donkey. He'll be riding a white horse. And when he approaches, he'll be approaching as the king, and not just any king, the King of Kings. And that'll be the day when God resets the world. When he removes all evil, all rebellion, when the creation is finally set free from the curse. On that day, we who believe will rejoice. The creation will rejoice. question I have for you as I close, are you ready for that day? Are you ready? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you, we praise you for riding into Jerusalem so many years ago to lay your life down as a sacrifice for us, for all the sins of the world, if the world will only repent. Lord, we thank you for the grace and the mercy that you show us each and every day. Lord, we thank you that you're in control, in such control, you can tell the future. You give the prophecies, and they're 100% accurate, even down to the smallest details. And Lord, your prophetic word is happening around us today. You didn't give us these prophecies to scare us, but to prepare us, to wake humanity up, to realize the truth of who you are and what is coming. And we must be prepared for that day. Lord, I pray as believers that we wake up and realize that we don't have to fear your judgment. We should have a fear of those who are going to suffer the judgment. The loved ones, the friends, the people that we are connected with who don't know you. That the time may be short, very short, for us to reach them, to share with them. So Lord, I ask you to help us as believers to reach out. Be the church. Even in these difficult times, we can reach people. And Lord, I pray for anyone who might be listening who's not a believer, who's never been born again by the blood of the Lamb, Lord, that they understand they need you. We don't have any control in this life. These disasters, these pandemics show that we have no control. We live in the valley of the shadow of death, and that looms over everything we do. And Lord, what we need is the light, and you are the light. The light of truth that pierces through the darkness, through the shadows, and that we must turn to you and be saved, be born again, so that we too can have the peace that goes beyond all understanding, the joy and the love and the grace and the mercy. Lord, I pray if there's anyone who doesn't know you, that they'll turn to you, or they'll listen to the gospel message so they can make a well-informed decision. A decision of the mind and of the heart to be born again. Again, Lord, we thank you. Even though we're not together as the church, we are together in spirit and in truth. And this beautiful day, this Palm Sunday, testifies always of your great love, your sacrificial love for us. Let us honor this day by loving each other and loving our neighbors. Prepare our hearts, Lord, for Good Friday and for Easter. We look to you, the God who's in all, in control of all things. We praise you this morning. You are great beyond words. And we praise you and we love you. And we pray this in your name. Amen. And I think a fitting song to close out this service is How Great Thou Art. Let's sing it together.
Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on a cross my burdens gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.